Some responsibilities are more important than others. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. A lot of people think of the Bible as one big rule book. They believe that if they were to open it, they would find thou shalt nots up and down every page. Well, there's a lot more to Scripture than that, as we've seen even in our study of the book of Hebrews. But there are some imperatives, of course, and when the Maker in his instruction manual writes, see to it, then we'd better see to it. Jim will pray to open his sermon, Graced to be Gracious.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight on the basis and merits of your grace. Grace made available to us through the perfect work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fullness of redemption that is ours through him. We thank you for the bounty, absolute, incredible bounty of that inheritance that he gives to us as he makes us sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that the future holds for us. We are blessed beyond the capacity of language to describe, beyond the power of thought to envision or imagine. Indeed, your grace abounds, and in that grace, we are fully and completely forgiven and absolutely welcome home. Thank you tonight for each of these dear friends who've come. We pray that you'll bless our fellowship. We ask that as we open your word, you would open it to our hearts and then open our hearts to your word. And may the things that we find on the pages of Scripture bore down deeply into our souls and hearts and affect how we think and how we plan and what we anticipate and how we experience life. Thank you for the wonderful book of Hebrews, and thank you for the author who so meticulously discovers to us the things that make your heart thrill. And through that, enable us to give you pleasure. We ask that we should do so. Now, may the words of our hearts and the meditation of our thoughts be pleasing to you. We pray for those who have special burdens tonight. We pray, Father, that you'll touch those that are sick and those that are anticipating surgery. We pray that you'll guide those who are responsible to give the best care possible to folks who are limited. We ask that you will give us grace to bear up in difficult and straining situations. Give us patience and wisdom and mercy. Thank you again for the privilege of meeting together tonight. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. An Indian walks into a cafe with a shotgun in one hand, pulling a male buffalo with the other. He says to the waiter, "Want coffee?" Waiter says, "Sure, chief, coming right up." He gets the Indian a tall mug of coffee. The Indian drinks coffee down in one gulp, turns and blasts the buffalo with the shotgun, causing parts of the animal to splatter everywhere, and it just walks out. Next morning, the Indian returns. He has the shotgun in one hand, pulling another male buffalo with the other. Walks up the counter and says to the waiter, "Want coffee?" Waiter says, "Whoa there, Tonto. We're still cleaning up from the mess you made yesterday. What was that all about anyway?" The Indian smiles and proudly says, "Training for position in USA Congress. Oh, no. Come in, drink coffee, shoot bull, leave mess for others to clean up, disappear for the rest of the day." I thought that was worth reminding ourselves. Now, you are going to vote tomorrow. Don't forget that. That is an incredible, incredible, some of you already have. It's an incredible, incredible, unique privilege. Something that comes out of the inheritance of the Scriptures and the truth of the Christian faith. It doesn't come from other secular positions. It comes from the centristic truth of the Word of God. But remember what God told Daniel. He said, Daniel was concerned about some things, and he says, "Daniel, the Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men, and he appoints over it whomsoever he wishes, even the basest of men. Go read it for yourself, Daniel chapter 4. God's in control. And remember also what Jesus said to Pilate. Pilate said, don't you realize I can crucify you or release you? And Jesus said, you have no power over me at all, except it's given to you from above. Keep those perspectives in mind. Remember also that our God is on schedule with his plan. And we've been reading in Hebrews chapter 12 about how we ought to look at difficult situations. Turn there, please. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. He's talking about Christians going through tough times. And the writer to the Hebrews says in verse 7, endure it, persecution, difficulty, stress, endure it as discipline. Change your attitude toward things that don't fit with God's ideals, or things that are uncomfortable, things that are even difficult, things that may be costly. Change your attitude. If God is in control, and he certainly is, then what is happening is permitted for a reason. You're not the only citizen in the United States. And God is not ignorant. God is not passive. God is not passive regarding the conditions in our nation and among our people. Just remember that. And perhaps God is dealing with you as sons. God is dealing with us as sons. And you remember how God the Father spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all. Think about that. And pray. Pray. If my reading of Scripture is accurate and my perspective of Scripture is at all close, our time on earth is limited, and we need to be glowing, not groaning. We need to be witnessing, not whining. We need to be shining. Our Father knows all about it. And sometimes God gave unpleasant experiences to his own people because he was teaching others lessons, setting them up, preparing them for the visitation of his wrath. So remember, tomorrow vote. Always pray and never stop trusting. God has it all figured out. Hebrews chapter 12, tonight we begin with verse 14. There is a series of exhortations here, three to be exact, that all begin with the same word, and it's see. It's see. You'll find it there. See to it that no one fails. You'll find it in verse 16. And see that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person. You'll see it in verse 25. See that you do not reject the one who speaks. Those three give us points of passage. That is, they show where the author is admonishing and exhorting us to certain responses to conditions that they are facing and that we are likely to face as well. The first one is a huge trap, especially for Christians. Look at it. Verse 14, pursue peace with everyone. In order to have peace with everyone, You gotta compromise. Remember meeting our governor down in Washington, D.C. He called me into his office and he said, Jim, he'd been here at the church often. He said, admire your preaching, love your people, always a blessing to come. He said, I'm going to make you a promise. He said, you stay out of politics and I'll stay off the pulpit. And I said, sounds like a deal to me. And then he said, you would be a lousy politician. All politics is premised on compromise. I think he's right. So if we're going to pursue peace with everyone, if we're not careful, we'll stoop to the lowest denominator. We'll set aside things that we shouldn't. And so the author of Hebrews very quickly reinforces that with a second exhortation. Look at it. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. There are limits to what you can compromise. And the reason holiness is so important is because without it, no one will see the Lord. That gives us an interesting formula to think through. In pursuing peace, do I seek peace with everyone, or do I seek peace with God? The author waits the answer of that. He says, without holiness, you will not see God. Now, this bridges back up into the previous discussion he had, where he talks about how we gain God's holiness, how we gain God's perspective. Look with me, please, up at, look at verse 9. We had natural fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? They discipline us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, but he disciplines us for our benefit so that we can share his holiness. As I read that, I asked myself, well, where am I spending my time? Am I spending my time pursuing the holiness that God builds into my life through the disciplines that he brings into my path? Or do I spend my time seeking to be at peace with everyone around me? Who has the priority in my life? Other humans? God himself. Whose favor do I curry? Whose pleasure do I seek? Whose will shapes my decisions? The naked pursuit of peace with everyone leads to the lowest denominator. It leads to compromising everything to arrive at peace with that other person. That's bad theology. That's horrible, horrible character. So the author's reminding us that our supreme role in life is to gain God's perspective and to share God's character, which is holiness. The word holiness at its root means separate from. It means separated unto those things that mark out the character of God. Or we would say, it means choosing those things that are going to make me more like Jesus. And that must take precedence over social peace. If compromise needs to be made, it must always be made in favor of God's holiness, not in favor of other people's preference. I think John was right. I probably would be a lousy politician. And I know that brings other issues. It only serves tonight as an example because it's on your mind. to remind all of us that our supreme goal in life is to be more like Jesus, not to be known as the most peaceful, malleable, easy to get along with person in all the world. Jesus found a way to bring large quantities of both. He was always pleasing the Father. And at the same time, he had a marvelous quality about him that made him delightfully welcome at most non-religious experiences. May it be so with you. May it be so with me. See to it, we read in verse 15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it defiling many. 35 years ago, there was a whole wave of teaching that went through the church based upon the root of bitterness, what it was, what caused it, various psychological assessments of what that was, because a root of bitterness springing up means that this person is cultivating that root, cultivating bitterness. And it can be used as a means of control. It can be used as a means of escaping responsibilities. Bitterness can be a very, very powerful tool in your workshop, in your work case, in your personal demeanor. But bitterness always diminishes. Bitterness always reduces other people to mere objects to be manipulated. Bitterness always gives me a way of justifying what I want and making it seem so righteous, so holy, so perfect. The Apostle Paul tells us, I believe he's the author, he tells us that in spite of bitterness, we need to exercise the grace of God. See that? He said, we need to encourage one another so that no one falls short of the grace of God, and thus root of bitterness takes place. Root of bitterness. You have done the same thing I have. You've had conversation over coffee with people that were in their 60s and 70s who are angry and bitter about experiences in life that long since have been covered by the dust of the past. They can't get over an experience back there. They refuse to forgive and move on. And so that acts like a cancerous tissue inside their soul and spirit, and it forms a root of bitterness. And it's not long until that bitterness, nobody wants to be around them. Nobody enjoys being with them. And they find themselves isolated, alone. And that makes them even more bitter. What's the solution to bitterness? The grace of God. The grace of God. In other words, instead of going through life with a checklist, making note of all the bad things that happened to you and all the unkind things that were said about you and all the, instead of making that list, letting that list drive you deeper and deeper and deeper into bitterness, choose to do what Jesus said. Refuse to be embittered. Accept the grace of God for that. Release that person from the burden and responsibility that they incurred when they did that bad thing, said that nasty thing, outmanipulated, or whatever way they harmed you. Jesus said we are to forgive them. That's the grace of God. That means I am to treat others out of an attitude that has been built upon my experience of God's grace in my life. I forgive them because I am forgiven. How did I get forgiven? Through the grace of God. What's the grace of God mean? It means I didn't deserve it. It means something God did out of sheer grace. He did it without me meriting it. So I'm going to forgive, not based upon the fact that you deserve to be forgiven, not the fact that you grovel, not the fact that I whatever. I'm going to forgive because the grace of God abounds in my life. And as I practice the grace of God, giving to others what he's given to me, suddenly I have fewer and fewer enemies. I'll never forget Pastor Jeremy standing at the door years ago, and someone was leaving, and they said, oh, leaving the service, and they said, Pastor Dick, I was standing at his side, Pastor Dick, I am so sorry that I offended you. And he, you know, that mischievous smile he had, he said, you offended me? When did you offend me? The person began to explain, and he said, oh, no, he said, you didn't offend me. I refuse to be offended by such trivial things. I thought, oh God, what a man. I'm just not going to let those barbs stick. I'm just not going to take offense. What am I going to do? I'm going to respond out of the grace of God, forgiving. Matter of fact, Jesus taught us that we're to forgive even our enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's not easy. It's only possible because of the grace of God. What the writer is trying to do is to show these dear folks who are facing obstacles, facing persecution, facing ridicule, facing bad stuff, showing them that you don't need to get bitter. You don't need to make these things objects of bitterness. In my experience, I find that the more carefully I practice that, the more other Christians call me a compromiser. You ever had that experience? Oh, he's soft on sin. Oh, he's easy on sin. Yep, I am, because I'm not their Savior. I am not their God. They do not answer to me. They answer to him. So what's the wise thing to do? Refuse, absolutely refuse, like Dick did. Absolutely refuse to take that seriously enough to cause a breach between you and that person. Forgive, release, even your enemies. Bless those that persecute you. And when you get that in your formula, when you begin to look at life as a way or a series of events where I can experience God's grace and then reflect and share God's grace with those who would do evil, I don't get bitter.
The phrase root of bitterness here in Hebrews 12 seems to allude to some very serious warnings in Deuteronomy 29. You might want to look up that passage when you get a chance. We're beginning to apply the truth that we've been given to this point in the book of Hebrews. Pastor Jim calls this talk, Graced to be Gracious. You can request a CD copy of the sermon for a gift of $7 or more. The message is part of a series called God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. Those 20 CDs can be yours for a donation of $69 or more. I'll tell you how to order after I give you another reason to contact us, and that is the sheer number of chaotic and conflicting messages we're all exposed to every day. Right Start is just one voice in all that noise. If you'd like to boost the volume on this voice, metaphorically speaking, you can do that with your prayers and financial gifts. Please consider it. And thanks to those already helping. Contact us by mail at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And visit our website. After all, you're the reason we built it. The address is rightstartradio.org. You can play radio programs there and play or download complete sermons without the broadcast edits. If you want to make sure you never miss a program, simply sign up for the Right Start podcast, and there's a way to donate securely at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Esau was not a wise dude, but he's kind of everywhere these days, maybe even in us. Let's check to be sure. We'd love to have you with us for Wednesday's Right Start.